birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good.
Yes, indeed. Feeling good is the operative word, especially when we go back to understanding the significance and the meaning of feeling, and I'm sure we'll touch upon that this evening, how easy it is to lose sight of the sacred aspect of us, the feminine aspect of us, the ability to no longer feel, to be caught in an illusion of just thought. Wow. So, yeah, feeling good is an operative word. Any feeling is an operative word. My name is Emilio. And I am one of the family members here joined on the Paradise Circle Thursday segment. And we welcome you wherever you are, whatever time you're listening. We know it's the perfect time. And listen, we're blessed by you being here as much as we're blessed by being here with you. Wow, it is Thursday. And you know what? I've been reflecting today. And we'll get into where we're going. But I've been reflecting today of a lot about the whole of everything and how easy it is for me when I'm looking at certain circumstances or situations that might occur to not understand that I am part of everything. And when I get trapped in a dream and the illusion that I am separate from everything, I react at a really basic level in terms of being stuck in my thoughts and my feelings and my beliefs, and don't really see how clear that namaste is namaste. I can see the divine in you, but the piece for me that's becoming more intricate is to be able to see the divine in everything, that there's no separation, that it's all for good, it's all has a purpose, it's all one. And it's easy sometimes to forget that. And so I come today with you and just a deeper reflection and understanding of a respect for everything and how easy it is for me to receive and distribute based upon that understanding. When I don't, I contribute to one aspect of it. When I do, I contribute to another aspect of it. And I'm just receiving right now, and what we would say Kabbalah, a feeling of connection to everything that is. And I don't always like it, and that shows me how much I am stuck in the illusion of being separated from it. And then when I come to that place, it's like, let's inquire and check out what it is that you don't like about that, man. So that's me. I'm Emilio, and welcome again to Paradise Circle. And that was just a mouthful that I needed to unload. And I appreciate you being here. And let's check in with family and get a feeling word. So, Maha, how are you doing this evening? Welcome, welcome, welcome. It was such a pleasure being with you all last week also. I need to say that, too, because that's the reflection that led me. Because it's really nice to be collected and be with a collection of people that are single mind and one and walking with you. And then you come back to a place where you're with others. And it's like, it's so different, but I'm connected to them also. And it just takes some inquiry to appreciate that. So here you are. Maha, how you doing this evening? And what would be a feeling word or thoughts or comments from you?
I am most grateful and I totally could relate to what you were saying about being challenged times to recognize the divine in something that just happens. And yeah, the beginning of the week was very difficult, And but peace has come back, and the heart is up and again, and the judgment has subsided. So for that, I'm most grateful. And this is it. Grateful.
Beautiful, beautiful. Verena?
This is Verena, and I'm still very much in a state of euphoria for having been very, very connected to my XPR family this past weekend, and I'm still unfolding all the experiences and ahas, and I'm in a new state of mind, and just glad to be on the call tonight, and I'm receiving the news of a passing of a sweet little furry friend, and that does sadden me because I just met the little guy, but I'm glad I met him because he was a love. So thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Michael, how about you, brother?
Hey, Emilio. Hello, everybody. Present. That would be my key word. And as Verena hinted and Maha alluded, it's been an interesting week. I was taking the puppy out on Tuesday morning, and he leaped out of my arms, literally. And it was a very tragic landing. Within a few moments after his landing, he passed away. And as I sat with him and sat with this experience this week, I have my overall feeling where it has been interestingly accepting and at the same moment present, just really listening. And that is in honor of the dog's name, which was Shema, which means hear. So may we all have a moment of love and blessing to this being, and I appreciate being with you guys tonight. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michael. It's very sweet and gentle and interesting to look into the symbols and the patterns and what is at a deeper level beyond this physical realm that we exist in, the symbols and the meanings to some of the other kinds of things that happen. And I think we're going to touch into some of that this evening and how these archetypes play. But this is just precious to be in the body and noticing what this is. And I think we have a caller on 111. It's a number that's dialed into the studio. If you want to check in with a feeling word or say hello, you're more than welcome. Your mic may be mute. Okay, and then if you do want, hi, who is this?
Hi, my name is Alex. I was invited by Mahalene. I don't know if I'm the 1111, but I'll take that.
You are the 111. You are the one. Thank you.
Quadruple, right?
It's a pleasure having you. What would be a feeling word for you right now? Any thoughts or comments as we get started?
Open.
Open. Amen. Amen. Well, beautiful. I
thank
trust
you
that
for being
people
here. Alex, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I trust that people have a copy of the book you can that we're using. So if you're listening to the archive, this would be a great place to put it on pause and go back to empoweringnow.com. Click under I believe the Open Meetings tab or Resources tab, and then select the download for copy of the Paradise Circle book. It should be right there on the webpage for you. And we're going to start off with page 3, the Paradise Circle. Paradise Circle. Welcome to the Paradise Circle. It's a gathering of ordinary people practicing deep introspection and doing shadow work to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. By joining in engaging, and coming back, we increasingly benefit from the distilled essence of an ultimate method of inquiry, known as the path of expire, and first received by Mahalene Lewis. That inquiry is radical, as it is based on sacred geometry. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. Wow. Paradise Circle is sponsored by Empowering Now, LLC, and receiving is the meaning of the Hebrew word Kabbalah. Anybody hear anything different or feel anything different in the reading this evening of page 3?
This is Michael. I have a smile that came to my face in thinking about young Frankenstein when the first moment where they activated this beast, and it's alive, and I'm thinking about that in the context of language.
Okay.
The word is alive, it's alive, and I love that. So that touched me tonight.
Beautiful. And was that you, Verena, or is that?
Yeah, I had described what we do as a dance, and tonight when I'm reading, by joining in, engaging, and coming back, it almost feels like a little square dance, you know, where we get to engage and we go back into our respective worlds and then we come and play again, and it's a lovely process.
Beautiful. It really is. I was observing and noticing myself get tongue-tied, if you will, on two or three different occasions. And as it was happening, in the moment that it was happening, I came down to the line that said it was received by Mahalene Lewis, and that inquiry is radical. And I could hear from within saying, you're getting tongue-tied. Listen. Listen. And I was like, wow, okay. And so I noticed that when I got to each time we honestly engage, it started. And then I was able to just chill and just see what happened, and it was just feeling really different. But you just hear myself say, tonight, you're to do more listening. And just listen. And so I'm open to receiving whatever that really means to me. Blessings. Well, any other thoughts, comments before we move forward?
Hi, this is Alex.
Alex, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm usually late. I apologize for that. But there's just something that's sitting on my heart, and it's related to the dog who passed.
Mm-hmm.
I had been talking to Mahalene about the dog's presence, I guess, here on Earth. And I am an Advent, you know, I just love dogs, and I had a dog actually pass in front of me. It was in that very moment that I placed every last ounce of trust that I have in myself, in my God, because to see something so sacred happen in front of me, I felt more blessed to have witnessed that transition more than, say, for instance, loving the actual animal itself. It almost made me love God more to know that he's in control all the time. So for everyone on the call who's grieving the dog's passing, just remember that you are the blessed ones to have been in the dog's life, and vice versa, the dog in your life. But just know at the end of the dog's life was its God. That was all.
Mm. Amen to that. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Ah. Yeah. That just brings back some images and pictures and so forth. And really neat. We do have a couple of pictures with us all together with Shema. This is really neat. Awesome. Well, I believe we had left off around page 13, I believe, was the last time we were together. We were looking at page 13, and is this technology for you? And prior to that, we had looked at the color code and the connections to the elements and how the elements extrapolate knowledge that ideally bring us to a sense of really having an inquiry that can be trusted, an inquiry that has clear definitions and link to colors and things associated with colors. For example, ether coming out, the voice being in ether, and water being the soul in blue, ether being black, and brown being earth, and so forth, and heart and fire. So we talked a little bit about the different color codes, and I was looking at a message. The pages are marked with a brown sapphire. Are there ritual pages? Ma, could you speak to that, please? And then I don't have to go back to interpret.
Sure, certainly.
Thank you.
The introduction to this book is really the first 10 pages, and we looked at it as a group in our first meeting. And this introduction can really be seen once, you know, more succinctly via three pages. And so one is page 5, the agreements, because as we're entering the circle, we're agreeing to doing shadow work. And so the agreements that we go by is, first of all, we ask for permission. You know, when we play with fire together and enter the darkness, all sorts of things can happen. That opposes power versus force. And so we begin by asking a permission. And then we jump into the subconscious, the ocean of the subconscious, dive into it, open the shell, and in so doing, we may reveal things that are of a confidential nature. So if you just look at the line of color, that's what I'm going through right now. I started with the black cell. I jumped to the green cell, diving. And now I'm going backwards into confidentiality. If you find that what you're about to reveal is too much to be streaming online, then just remember that this work offers confidentiality, and don't say it. Ask, claim confidentiality. The next presence, that's what Michael opened with when he said he was present in his body. Instead of going into a void dance, speaking of the dance, we doing the dance of the void. The next agreement is to agree that as we're looking for change and entering places that are unfamiliar, we can anticipate discomfort and welcome discomfort instead of staying in the comfort places. And lastly, again, this can be, we're playing with fire, so there can be judgment showing up, and it's always okay to check if we have an assumption and to clear the space. So that is one of the brown sapphire page, Emilio. The next one, so yes. The first one you opened with it, the next is the agreement on page 1. And the last is page 10, which is really a synthesis of everything that is in between. So, would you take us through it?
Absolutely, thank you. So, page 10 tells us, pardon me?
I was simply saying you may be on mute.
You said to take, okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep. Good.
Hello? Okay, cool. Thank you. Okay, so thank you, Maha. The synthesis, I mean, basically this is all about waking up, and the invitation of the Paradise Circle is for us to learn how to become primary with how we speak, alluded to by the word being alive. from when we began our conversation. And it touches to what Emilio said, when I feel my feelings. The first bullet here says communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. To be primary is to be myself, meaning what I say and saying what I mean. The resonance, in other words, when it vibrates together, this is how to have the power to transform. The next bullet says awakening and peace. And going back for just a moment to feeling and transformation, if we were to do shadow work on this now, we would come quickly to see that when I resist feeling what is, there's a belief there. And so the invitation of the shadow work would be to anchor what might that be that has me resisting feeling and therefore not forgiving. The second bullet is awakening and peace. When I'm not in peace, there is something I do not understand. From there, I have two sensible options. I can ask and answer the ultimate question, this idea of who am I. We call that inquiry. If I were to honestly engage in inquiry, I would come to hear that the ego is the one that is complaining and unable to accept reality. And that opens the door to the second part here, helping me to accept that I'm not at peace. And if I can simply accept where I am right now, that acceptance, another word for that is surrender, this is what every spiritual master on the planet teaches, the idea that it's not me, but he who lives within me. It's being a hollow bone. It's being the center of the circle. There's a lot of analogies for this. And so we, and again, in our introduction, offered the understanding of how to anchor power, and that comes from the understanding of peace. The third point was, okay, yeah, these two tools, these simple tools of inquiry and surrender do deliver awakening, and they do so guaranteed to the precise extent that I practice them all the time. However, if it's that simple, how come we don't have a planet that's awake based upon leveraging those two tools? In comes expire, the path of expire. And what we're really looking at is another way to do inquiry. So the third bullet says, an inquiry I can trust. Expire's inquiry is radical as it uses sacred geometry. The Genesis pattern reveals that the word, and thus the world, is created in six, quote-unquote, days. The six stages climax in the consciousness of Shabbat as the seventh day of rest. And in a nutshell, this inquiry based on sacred geometry helps me to understand the ordering of the shadow, the chaos, and to progressively understand the way in which I retrieve my light fragments until it's not me doing it. It's being done through me. So what is the path of expire? It's a way to do inquiry, and that's what we're doing in these calls. Finally, XPR as experience states that the tree of life holds the wisdom of the Bible, guiding me out of the lower world, quote-unquote Egypt, into pure awareness, quote-unquote the promised land. Yet, I must eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and die to who I think I am. So the invitation is, join us. Let's do some shadow work.
Amen. Amen.
You know, just for the sake of it, I'd love for one of us to answer that last question, because that question is loaded. Like, what may be a repeated experience in my life that causes me pain? Anybody wants to take that on?
Yeah, I'll take a shot at it. This is Emilio. A repeated experience in my life that causes me pain. To date, I noticed my looking at people not not participating, not doing, not helping out with everything. So it's the belief was people should help out more. There was a lot to be done, and people were in their own little silos doing their work, when in actuality we have a school to open on Monday morning, and with 400 plus students, and yet everyone was in their little silo just doing their part, when it really, the belief that I was stuck into was we all need to come together and really make this work so that it happens. But there you are.
Okay, so the repeated experiences, you're confronted with people that don't do their part. Is that it?
Yes.
Got it.
At least that's the belief that's there, yeah.
Okay. And so if you own the projection, people don't do their part, then what would that be?
The projection would be people do their part. I don't do my part.
I don't do my part. So in which area do you consistently not do your part?
Which area do not consistently do my part?
And, you know, all of us, I am asking myself the same question as you are, Emilio, and I invite each of us on the call and listening, you know, afterwards to ask the same question. Where is it that you consistently, that I consistently don't do my part?
Well, and you can let me know if this is going around and not being as direct, but my aspect of not doing my part is not being accepting and not being patient. And my part was just to be to accept what is and do what I need to do. But I'm busy wondering why they don't participate more.
Got it. So what you do not do is basically feeling your feelings and being present to your pain. Is that it?
That's clear, yes.
Okay. Funny, because that's also what I was feeling for me. So anyhow, any other feedback on that? Okay. All right. So moving right along, thank you, Brother Emilio.
Thank you for the reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes. So, when I flip the next page, which is page 11, and I come right to a statement that says, well, being primary is to align what I say I want and what I actually have, and what I actually have is a condition that's now been identified that I'm not willing to feel my feelings and feel the pain there. And for some reason, I want this magic wand to make it go away, and that's not real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where would you like to begin? Page 13 this evening? We did page 13 last week.
Yeah.
And
page
I believe
14.
That brought us to page 14. 14, Spirit, Matter, Mother. Verena, are you at a place where you want to start some reading?
Yep. Spirit and Matter,
thank you.
Mother. Yep. My mind, addicted to control, massacres the feminine principle in men and women. For the feminine to matter, and for mother to be more alive than ever, I must use feelings as my guides and symbols as my keys to feel and sense the inherent order in the midst of chaos. When I trust the images that my body gives me, I'm in touch with reality.
Maybe could you stop here and tell
okay.
us what you're hearing, because
what I'm hearing is I can tap into feelings, they can be my guides. And when I become aware that symbols are keys, I can utilize that for me to figure out the order that is what I would consider in something that's chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like tonight, you know, hearing the news about Shema is chaotic to me, and my brain doesn't know what to do with it, and I'm conflicted, you know, just muster on through or feel my feelings, and you know, the old work ethic is just, you know, blow it off and keep trudging forward. But today that doesn't feel right.
Yeah. And yet, it's like when I trust the images my body gives me, and Alex gave us a beautiful image.
Yeah.
For us to trust, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And often another way to be in touch with reality.
Yeah. Right, and that image is another way of saying it's a symbol. You know, she gave us a symbolic image to sit with.
Mm-hmm.
Emilio?
And it was very valid as well. I mean, I was going to comment on Maha's comment about Alex's comment and say, and this is Michael, by the way, that was exactly the case. It was a blessing to be with Shema as he passed. The moment that he jumped and leapt, it was like a bird. He was flying, and he knew what he was doing. It was apparent that it was a conscious decision on his part to have done what he did. And as I sat there with him when he passed, I was present to that. I was present to his decision, which was as succinct as the decision for him to come into my life in the way that he did. And it was a blessing. There was a symbolic sense to the whole thing. In the middle of the chaos of having this beautiful, just loving puppy pass, there was complete chaos, and at the same moment, an acceptance of this decision and a blessing to because there was nothing that I could do about it. I knew it at that moment. It was done. And so it was just as Alex had said, very symbolic, and also an opportunity to really be present.
Yeah, yeah. I, not totally shifting the topic, but Verena, as you were reading this, and I'm reflecting on Maha, what that small degree of inquiry that we were just talking about, my mind, I'm seeing more clearly how my mind is addicted to control, and the mind being addicted to control wanted to change the circumstances and control them to see it the way the mind wanted to see it. People jumping to the dance, doing what I would expect them to do, but that addiction to the control based out of the mind was causing me to massacre the feminine principle. It was causing me not to be able to feel. And yet, what this is saying, and Verena, what you read, I must use feelings as my guide. And the symbols that you all are talking about as keys to feel and sense. But just dawning on me and becoming clear how my mind, addicted to control, massacres that.
Hi, this is Alex again, and I hope I'm not, you know, I hope I'm in line with the discussion. But I think that that's what the human experience is in a nutshell. It's our relationship with control. And I think that emotions are a clear humanistic thing to stop us and make us aware that we're not in control. You know, it's almost like human emotions are just the byproduct when we've lost it or we don't have it. You know, just as with the dog passing, and when my dog passed, again, as Michael mentioned, I would have done anything in this world to save that dog. But in that moment, I knew I was not in control. And something inside of me was okay with that. and also knowing that the universe is perfect. You know, there's mm-hmm. something out there that's in control. That's where that trust comes from. And my spirit is okay with that. However, the human side of me wants to have a part in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Amen.
And yes, you're right in alignment with the conversation, Alex. So thanks for joining the party.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Verena, you want to continue, or are there any other comments about these first few lines?
No, I can continue. I'm going to start with when I trust. When I trust the images that my body gives me, I am in touch with reality. Yet for me to be strong enough to dialogue with the mighty force of the unconscious and contain it, I must let everything pass through me. When I attach an image, I become possessed by it. However, by diving into archetypes and, quote, receiving them, I am free.
Mm.
So what I'm hearing there is first of all, if I can actually let myself have my feelings and not resist them and thus feel more pain, that's a way where I will have the strength to experience it all and be in dialogue with the unconscious and not let myself get lost in it. That's where I read the word and contain it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I think I've spent a good part of my life avoiding the void, avoiding the feelings, and running in another direction. And thus I'm really not healing at all. I'm constantly in a state of, you know, motion rather than emotion.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. And it departs when I attach to an image, I become possessed by it. And I think every addict, and granted, we're addicted to control, so that image can be expanded. But if I just look at a substance addiction, and then I start having the image of a drink or the image of a chocolate cake slice. And then it's like, if I attach to it, I'm done. You know, it's like I'm going to get in my car because And God forgives who is in my path here.
Wait.
Mm-hmm. In between me and my image. You know, it's like, I'm going to make it happen. And it has such a different feel when there's this manic energy behind it than when an athlete, maybe before a jump, would allow himself or herself to just see the jump, you know, like they would review themselves, make the jump, or get the shot, or really perform the athletic feel. And so the image, it can have two sides, but when it's the shadow side, when it's the desire for control, then watch out. Because it's like I become a beast.
Well,
yeah. I was interested, and Verena, I'd love to hear what you said. So I was interested in what's your sense? And I had this vision, but your sense of I must let everything pass through me. What does that mean to you?
Well, I see that as not holding on, not judging, just experiencing it so that it can pass through me.
Yeah.
So it's also interesting in terms of the repeated experience of not feeling the impatience, sort of frustration that you were speaking of, Emilio. You know, it's like it gets stuck.
Yeah, like
yeah,
wanting to hold on to it or control it.
I was going to say, and it gets stuck like a a record. It gets stuck in a groove, and it keeps gouging that groove deeper and deeper. So we really have big, we need a miracle to jump that gap.
Yeah, I had this I had this vision when I was reading that of just standing there, and I could see things pass through me as if, it's not like, you know, you remember seeing any of the movies of the Invisible Man or a ghost, literally, but things would just pass through. It was just the ability to pass through and not necessarily materialize or hold on to it. And I think it's that madness and that addiction to control and want to contain it that I think along the way I can tame it and do something with it while it's coming and don't let it pass through, and thinking back into that addicted aspect for control to really not feel the feelings. If I would just identify what I'm feeling in that moment and be with it, it would pass.
And this is Michael. Connecting this to the simplicity conversation, you know, if we say that we want to be, quote-unquote, enlightened or awake, we talked earlier about the two tools, you know, the tool of inquiry and the tool of surrender. And looking at this last sentence here before the red writing, it says, by diving into archetypes and receiving them, I am free. And what I've been feeling into this week, and Maha and I had a great conversation earlier this week editing this page, and what became really clear is that, yeah, I can inquire on beliefs, and if they keep happening over and over again, you know, if I want to stay awake, I got to keep doing inquiry. Is it true? Is it true? Is it true? Surrender, surrender, surrender. And so long as I do those, I'm good. I'm good. But what we're looking at here is to really begin to open to archetypes in a new way. And these archetypes happen to be characters. And in our case, we're looking at a language that's alive and letters that contain a DNA, a spiritual DNA, that when we understand those archetypes, when we truly get it, and what is an archetype? It's a grouping of unconscious or conscious beliefs that, you know, work through the level of the formation of the emotional body and turn out to be manifest in terms of what we call the body or what we call the house or the building or the government. These things that we're looking at that appear to be physical are filtered through an archetypal dimension. And so what we're inviting is an understanding, a diving to, and I know the next sentence will get to that, but I appreciate the distinction between, you know, a belief and an archetype.
To me, archetypes are gods. You know, it's like the Greek pantheon, for example. They are archetypes. You know, you have Zeus, the father. You have Hera, the wife. You have Artemis, the young maiden. You have Athena, the wisdom goddess. The archetypes are gods. They're just like really like the root form of identities. Father, mother, daughter, the son. That's, to me, that's it makes it easier for me to understand archetypes when I think of them as gods.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, but they are personalities.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole problem. The role. They take on a certain role, and when we're stuck on a role, and we think we're that role, you know, therein comes lies our sticking point.
Mm-hmm.
Can't see beyond that. Can't see who we really are because we're hung up with the facade of an archetype.
And I remember reading a quote once said that what you conform to becomes your God. And so if the God, and that's my manifestation, and that's what I conform to, and I can see then the need to want to control it. But it sounds like mixing what all of you are saying is that this, what this inquiry does is let us go deeper and do shadow work to explore and uncover what extent that archetype has power, has been given power, and how it continues to manifest and push its way through so that we understand what's behind that, so that I get to a level of really understanding what's driving this particular vote, what's driving here for me, and understanding that there's something cross that's going crisscross here, and there's something coming to light, and I can get a better understanding of why that keeps happening. So there's a repeated aspect, but I won't understand why it keeps happening if I don't go to an archetypal level, look at the symbols and what's really going on, and then using an inquiry methodology that I can trust to get me there.
And that's what we're going to see in a few minutes, how it's not just one side of an archetype. We're going to see archetypes in the shadow and archetypes in the light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shall I continue?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. The archetypal dimension invokes the light present in the darkness of addiction. First, it uncrosses my physical and spiritual wires, and then my female and male wires. I loved reading that earlier. So when something's crossed, I mean, I'm at cross purposes. When I'm crosses something that's keeping me from going to the other side, I got to cross the street. But if I'm got my physical and spiritual wires crossed, or male and female wires crossed, then I'm going to have misfiring. I'm going to have blow-ups. So something is bound to go haywire.
Mm-hmm.
So, hallelujah. The ensuing release of energy changes the body's molecules. Yeah. If not, my cells are infused with the despair of backward archetypes, and I can't heal. The pain of living life with my wires crossed, and in parentheses, and going backward, will eventually propel me to turn within to find God. Until then, there will be a hole in my soul that I will try to fill with outer projections.
What touches you? You want to stop there?
Yeah. And I'm reading that as, you know, like with addiction, I certainly know about this one personally. It's like, I got to find my own bottom. You know, no one can help me there. They can't prevent me from finding my bottom. I have to find my bottom if I am blessed. And that's what I'm hearing here. The pain of living life with wires crossed will eventually propel me to turn within to find God. You know, a day will come, if I am so lucky, to say, this is not working, so what gives? And to go within to seek the answer, not polling people to find an answer.
Mm. Yeah, as you were reading that, I was thinking about the last time I was outside watering the grass, and I eventually ended up getting a different type of hose that doesn't kink up a little bit, but I remember what it was like to water the grass, and then all of a sudden there's no water coming out, and I'm tracing back and I'm looking back and wow, the hose is crossed, and there's this cross to the hose, and then as soon as I take out and uncross the hose, you know, it just comes, and so I'm visualizing what that's like to have that release of energy that's powerful enough that has uncrossed my physical and spiritual wires and my masculine and feminine wires, and what the symbology and what all of that really means to keep me away from having that energy that flows through, that infuses the cells and infuses the body's molecules, and yet just stay in a position where it's like you're reading here, it's just backwards. So I'm not even realizing that it's there until I look and see that. So I was visualizing that infusion of power coming once they process of it being uncrossed starts.
And isn't that a coincidence that the water you're describing in the hose, water equals feelings? When we get that kink out and we really feel our feelings, we really feel our feelings, and we are flushed. It is cathartic.
Totally.
Yeah.
Which I think goes back to what you were saying earlier. Until then, there's a hole in my soul, and that takes me back to the outer projections, because there's an addiction that I'm trying, quote-unquote, trying or reaching out to feel something when in actuality it's my spiritual and physical wires. I'm just all crossed up, and there's light in there. I need to be able to feel that and let go.
The next line.
So, Alex, do you have a book, a copy? Alex, do you have a copy of the material as well?
I do, and it's in front of me.
Awesome.
Cool.
Would you want to pick up from here?
As in reading the next passage,
yes.
I mean?
Please.
And are we still on page 14?
Yes.
Yeah, we're four lines
from
the bottom.
I'm reading the red part now, right?
No, four lines from the bottom. It starts out, yet as I patch myself, in the first big square.
Okay. Just looking for it. Okay. Yet as I patch myself from within, my soul is lifted up, and I begin to trust that I can do chaos. I now sense the body and wait for the symbol to change the projection and end the pain story. I open to Goddess wisdom, relax into the loving arms of life, smell the roses, and see God in every living thing.
Mm. So what touches you there in that part you read?
It's short-lived.
Hmm.
I wish I was better at it. I wish I could stretch out the part of feeling God within. I wish that dominated my days versus being the, you know, smaller part of my days. Sometimes I wish I can just be there and live there forever and ever. And I didn't have to feel pain and chaos at all.
And you are not alone.
I didn't think so.
No,
glad to know.
Not at all. Not at all. Any other comments, Maha, Michael, Verena, about this last part? Patching myself.
You know, what touches me here is, first of all, what she said, I would say ditto. And now... What I am hearing here is the keys twofold. First of all, feeling my feelings because they're my guides. And second, reading the symbols because they're my keys too. And when I get my feelings and my symbols together, then I am in my emotional body and I am in my physical body. And that's pretty much wisdom embodied. And what I find amazing is that, you know, like when I'm really insecure and when I need answers, I might go and get a psychic reading. I might ask for someone else to help me see clear in what is going on with me. And provided that the person is good enough to connect to my soul, which is what psychic means, then I'm gonna get exactly that. I'm gonna get to feel my feelings and read my symbols, read my keys, which another word for keys is the tarot cards, and another word for the tarot cards are the Hebrew letters. There's 22 Hebrew letters. there's 22 major arcanas, and those are the archetypes. Those are the belief system that come directly from a divine form of perception. So they're even prior to belief systems. And so that's, it's like in a nutshell, this is how I received that, is to be able to really read my soul and hear my soul and see my soul, and through that to be in my body, to be present, to, you know, how are my words going to touch someone else? Like, what is the intention? What's the motivation behind my communication? How is that going to affect someone else? Because if it affects somebody else, if for negatively, then it's like boomerangs on me, ultimately. So that's, to me, that's the good news and the bad news. So the bad news is, yeah, I'm not there yet. I'm not at all time completely connected, grateful, and relaxed. There's still time that I forget to smell the roses and where I leave my body. But the fact that there would be a clear solution and a path is what touches me.
Yeah. I think, and I think that's what I was feeling when I was coming in the beginning, was just how does it affect what I'm doing, what's going on with me? How does it affect someone else? And to see there's only one, that we're all connected. And when you say, how do I hear and read and see myself, my soul, and to move beyond being stuck in the physical manifestation of all of that, and know that at a very deeper level, beyond just the lower worlds, if you will, beyond just the physical, mental, feeling level, there is greater understanding, keys that help me navigate through to ascend those places where I find myself addicted to control, where I find myself wanting to force other people to be my way, to do it as a, and not really allow it to pass through me and be attached to that. And so that's awesome. Other thoughts or comments on this? And Maha was going to, because you shared in and out of the box that's below getting to the code, but I'm wondering if anyone else had comments, reactions to what Maha or Alex or anyone else has said. And before we go to that, any other thoughts or reactions here, feelings?
I just say amen. Thank God there's a path.
Same.
Yeah, and Maha, you did a large part of the box there, but would you be willing to read that and then walk through this fractal at the bottom?
Sure. So, among all writings of humanity, the Bible may just be the book that has had the greatest influence over the collective mind. For that reason alone, we may feel that the Hebrew Torah is the recipient of the collective unconscious. And that would be one story of pain. So just to stop here for a second, what Alex was saying earlier, her wishes touch me deeply, because I find that I have the same wishes to really open and relax and smell and see God in every living thing. So, and my sense is that possibly everybody on this call has the same wish. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that would mean that we're united in one story. We have the same pain to not be able to up and sustainably to relax, to love, to smell the roses, and to see God and salute everything with a peaceful mind. So, moreover, the wisdom of the Bible does not come only from a story mistakenly translated as his story. And that goes back to the massacre of the feminine. It's amazing to me that the word, the Hebrew word, that is translated as the Lord God, is actually in Hebrew equally male and female. But from its minute essence, the Hebrew alphabet that traces one path to liberation. And so I briefly alluded to that when I spoke of the 22 Hebrew letters as the 22 tarot, which Carl Jung spoke of at the, as the initiatory journey of the hero. So it's like you begin in Aleph, the fool, and you go to Beth, the magician, and move from letter to letter, stage to stage, card to card, until you come to the world, and then you ascend back into the fool, into total freedom. So that's one path. And the sacred signs of that path hold a master code, serving to integrate one earth to one heart. On that note, I'm thinking of the song of the Beatles, imagine all the people, one earth, one heart, by way of 22 core archetypes, until only the I am is left, for no one may see me and live. So that's the final goal. It's really to come to the I am, where I am as if I am not, I can take it, I can leave it, but then I have to die to all of my identity, specifically like for me to the dark mother. And the dark mother, you know, she has to go, because as long as she's here, I can't see God in every living thing. So the dark mother cannot be there, the punishing mother, the one that is judgmental, that is just not kind, that has to go. So what happened and what I read is this entire paragraph is resumed in one line with the code, which is the code of Genesis, the word being created in 6 days. And there's a page on this in the introduction, and it's connected to the elements that you spoke of, Emilio, again to the introduction and other shows, the code that outlines this inquiry. So, you know, maybe one of us could roll a die and see where we locate ourselves on this wisdom Bible.
I rolled a 1.
So, yeah, one pain story. It's like the pain of loss, maybe, that we all share, that it's difficult to come to the wisdom that Alex introduced and Michael corroborated, that it was a very beautiful moment to witness the passage of Shema and a divine moment. And, you know, for most of us, it felt as a loss, as a tremendous loss. And is that how that touches you, Verena? One day?
Yeah. I heard that clearly tonight. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Funny enough,
Maha
rolled a 3.
Huh. So what does that mean to you? And Alex,
well, it's coming back to the level.
I was just going to say that one is the one being storied, then you move to the right each time adding a number. So three would be one master code. Yeah, Emilio.
Well, I having rolled a three and landed there, it obviously brings me back to soul and feeling. And what I was initially saying was that's what we came to, was my unwillingness to feel my pain and use it as my guide as opposed to wanting to control it. And what this is saying is that the one master code is through my soul, through that feeling.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and Shema spoke through spirit tonight. I am the aim. I roll the six. And that the idea of the I am, and, you know, I cannot see the face of God with any identity, with any of these false identities I'm attached to. I cannot be the aim. There's no possibility. I'll be filtering it and missing out on the face. And so thank you, Shema, and thank you for this beautiful wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for editing this page with me.
Yeah, just in the nick of time, like you said.
Yep.
In the nick of time. Well, it's we've gone like 6 or 7 minutes over, and I wanted to touch base and check in with everyone. Alex, it's been a pleasure to feel and have your voice present. And just want to go around and just see if there's something that resonates with anyone before we close. For me, it's just a reminder of coming back to feeling and a little bit more clarity on trusting the inquiry and allowing things to pass through me and not being afraid to feel and be in that moment to feel, because there's something in that for me, and by avoiding it doesn't help. So that's what touches me about this evening, what I walk away with. How about you, Verena?
Well, I'm in all of the process. Being on this call from beginning to end, I did experience some feelings and things did shift within me, and I feel connected and grateful to be here. Thank you.
Amen. Michael?
I'm more in touch than ever with the dimension of living language. And I'm going to speak that as an archetypal sense. And this page synthesized it and gives a sense of love to the experience that I'm opening into. Thank you.
Awesome. How about you, Alex? Anything touching you?
Well, first off, I'd like to thank Maha for trusting me and also extending the invitation. But one thing I was just kind of thinking about that, you know, is resonating with me is the idea of control is to fixate and to create a sense of redundancy, you know, some sort of routine, some sort of sameness. I don't know if we live in that. I don't know if the universe is built from that. I think every last thing is temporary, you know, feelings, whether good or bad, thoughts, whether good or bad. And I think the human challenge, again, is to roll with the punches, kind of, sort of. Mm. You know, we're forever changing, but I think the human condition is fixed, and that's a part of the challenge in life. But, again, I so appreciate the opportunity to be amongst you, and I look forward to being amongst you yet again. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Mm. Absolutely. How about you, Maha?
Well, I rolled a five, and that led me just exactly where I feel being into the one heart of this community and in my heart, because I so appreciate each and every one of you as a part of my heart, as one heart together. So that's what I feel, and I'm very grateful. I started with gratitude, and I have finished with gratitude.
Beautiful. Well, you all are, this show just took me back as they were all talking, and Alex, that you clued something in for me, and thank you all. I was led to a passage from the Bible as we were talking about it, and it was it's Matthew 26, verse 39, and it says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And I just see sometimes how easy it is to want this cup to pass from me, and yet to have the wisdom to come back to the fullness of everything, but not my will, but thy will be done. Mm-hmm. So thank you again, everyone, for being here. It was the will of love that it was. And Michael, is there another segment coming up on Sunday? Or is that the next following Sunday?
Not this Sunday, but the following. Yeah, not this Sunday.
Following Sunday. Beautiful. Well, thanks again, everyone. Peace and blessings. Have a beautiful evening. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Emilio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Alex.
Thank you.
Bye, all.
Good night.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, ooh, and I'm feeling